Today's shir is Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Aleph. We will begin on Daf Ayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the oven. Beleshes of a group of soldiers, Shenichnas Le'ir, that comes into a city, and in this city there are barrels of wine. Says the Mishnah, B'Shah Shalom, if they enter the city in the time of peace, and they just came because part of what they were entitled to was to eat and drink from the people of the city. The halach is chavis psuchis, any open barrel is osur. Because we have to be concerned that the nachrim took the wine, and even if they took from many barrels of wine, we have to be concerned that they had permission, and therefore the wine to take that, and therefore the wine is osur. However, if it's stumais, if the barrels are closed, mataris, because then certainly they didn't take any wine out. Because if they took wine, there's nothing that would compel them to close the barrel. So if the barrel is closed, it's clearly an indication that they never took any wine in at all. B'shas mechama, but if this is during time of war, elu ve'elu, both the open barrels and the closed barrels are mataris. But when we speak about open barrels, explained the Rishonim, we're talking about barrels that were open from before, and now they're still open. So the assumption is that's not that the Nochrim did anything with those barrels, because as the Mishnah says, Lefish Elam Pnei L'Naseich, they're busy with conducting war, and since they're busy with conducting war, we're not concerned that they did anything with the barrels. But if it would be barrels that were previously closed, and now we find them open, of course, says the Ran, that we have to be machmer, because they obviously opened those barrels, and who knows what they did. There are those that take the opinion that even if we know that they opened up barrels, the wine is still mutter. And the reason we could be lenient, even if we know that they open up barrels, is because it's a wartime. And they're drinking wine because they want to drink wine, but it's not that they want to drink, that they want to do Avodah Zarah. They're preoccupied with the war, and since they're preoccupied with the war, that's why they're taking wine, but not that they're interested in doing any Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah began about the Beleshet that comes into the city. So some Seifer says that when we speak about a Beleshet that has a right to eat and drink, it's only an army from the same country that the city that they enter to. And that's part of the rules of the countries in those days, that the army has a right to eat and drink from the people of the city they pass through. But if it's the army of a different country, even if it's a situation where they were given permission to pass through the city, that permission does not include that they should be allowed to take food and drink as much as they want. Says the Gemara, Ramini, our Mishnah says that an army that enters the city during a time of war, it doesn't have time to do Avodah Zarah. Ramini asked the Gemara, we learned in Masechet Ksubos, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Ir Shekavshu Karkom, the city that was conquered, that they were by outside army, Kol Kahanis Betoicha, all the Kahanis that are in that city, Psulis, can no longer live with the husband. Because the halach is, if Rachman al Tzlan, the wife of a Yisrael, was violated, so the halach is that the wife of Yisrael was violated, that woman could go back to her husband. But if the wife of a Kohen was violated, even though obviously it was very much against her will, the halach is she's still also to the Kohen. And here the Gemara over there, Masechet Ksubos, is teaching us that the assumption is that an army that comes through the city at a time of war will have violated all the women, to the degree that she's an Eishes Kohen, but as we just learned, an Eishes Kohen cannot remain with her husband if she was violated. So we see that even though it's a time of war, it doesn't prevent them from doing what they want to do. Answers the Gemara, Amar Ameri, the Nasach ein Pnai. Nasach is Avodah Zarah. They weren't so attached to their religion that if it's a time of war, they're going to still do Nisach. However, Livo, the Yetzahara of having relations, is a very powerful Yetzahara. And even though it's a time of war, for that Yesh Pnai, and that's why the wives of the Kohanim become apostle, but it's not a steer to what we learned in our Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Omnim Sheyisrael, people, workers of Yisrael, they, Omnim Sheyisrael, Sheshalachlam, Avdikham, Chavash, Yain, Nesel, Bescharon. They worked for a Nachri, and the Nachri paid them with Yain Nesach. Mutaloimer, the Yisrael may say to the Nachri, tell us the mail. Give us the value, don't give us the wine. And even if they say, this way Rashi learns, that even if they say that you go sell the wine, still, as long as they didn't take ownership of the wine, it's fine. However, if Nichnasu Shoson, if they took ownership of the wine, and they realize that they may not sell that wine, it's wine that's Yain Nesach, Stam Yenam, it's Osba No. So at that point, the wine already became theirs. And once the wine became theirs, then the halacha is that they can't ask anybody Osir, that the halacha is that they can't ask the Nachri to sell the wine. So the way Rashi is learning the Mishnah, it very much connected, did the Yisrael take ownership on the wine or not. That's the way Rashi learns. The Ramban, however, says that it is an issue. Because even if they didn't take ownership of the wine, there's a concept that we learned earlier in our Masechta on Daf Samach Gimel of Reitz B'Kiyumai. So even if the Jew did not take ownership of the wine, says the Ramban, and therefore the Jew tells the Nachri, take back the wine and sell it, it's Reitz B'Kiyuma. So therefore, says the Ramban, we're not to learn the Mishnah that the Yisrael, who didn't take ownership of the wine, tells the Nachri, take back the wine, because that wouldn't be permitted. What he tells him is, I don't want to get paid this way, pay in another way. So here we see the concept that, according to Ramban, even if he didn't take ownership, but we still, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, need to be concerned about Reitz B'Kiyumai. And whenever we have a concern of Reitz B'Kiyumai, that is also when we speak about Yai Nesach Estam Net Yenam. Amar Yudam Rav. A Jew, in those days, the government took 10% of everything somebody owned. So if a Jew has wine, so he has to give 10% to the government for tax purposes. But says the Gemara, a Jew could say to Nachri, pay my tax on my behalf, and I'll pay you back. Even though the Nachri is going to be paying with his non-kosher wine, it's not considered as if the Jew is benefiting from Yai Nesach. Because the Nachri did not necessarily have to have given wine. He could have given money, and the Jew would have to pay him back the amount of money he gave to the government. That's why it's not considered a benefit. That's why it's not considered that he gave wine. And even if the rule in that country is that you have to give the tax in wine, still, many times, explained the Miri, the government will be satisfied just getting money instead of wine. And that's why it's not considered that the Jew benefit from the wine. But as the Gemara, Meisrei, the Braisa tells us that a person may not tell a Nachri, Olai Tachtai La'itzer, give wine to the government instead of me. So we have a stira. Here it says that you're allowed to serve, here it says that you're allowed to give wine that you could ask the Nochri to pay your obligation with non-kosher wine, and here it says you can't. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav, says Rav, the question is not a good question. Because, oh, Tachtoi La'atzu Kamrit, in the case where the Jew asked the Nochri to stand in his place, Halei Damyo, it's only comparable, Eloha, Aval Oimel Malteni Min Oitzer. In the case where the Braisa says, where somebody said that he could be saved with money or with wine. And there the halacha is that it's mutter. But where he says, ol tachtai la'itzer, that he says, stand in my place, that becomes the shliach of the Yisrael. And a case where the he becomes the shliach of the Yisrael, since he becomes the shliach of the Yisrael, then that's why we have to be more machmer. Even though asked ritva, that we know the rule is then shlichus nachri, says the ritva, that even though in Shas there is a concept of ein shlichus lanachri, but in a case like this, ein shlichus lanachri means that the nachri is doing something, is not considered as if he's my shliach. But here where he's standing in the place of the Yisrael, since he's mamish standing in the place of the Yisrael, everybody will agree that this is considered, that the Nachri is considered the shliach of the Yisrael, and therefore it's asur. Says the Mishnah. The halacha is that if a Yisrael's wine became Yain Nesach, that he's not allowed to sell that wine even to a Nachri. And if he does sell that wine, the money is also by Noah. And therefore, when a Jew is selling wine to a Nachri, a Jew has to be most careful that the Nachri should not come in contact with the wine before the Yisrael consummates the sale. Because if this only after the sale is consummated. Because if the Nachri touches the wine before the sale is done, so then as soon as the Nachri touched the wine becomes Usr, and now the Yisrael can't sell it. And therefore, says the Mishnah, somebody selling wine to a Nachri, they agreed on a price, for the wine, and then the Nachri took the wine, because once they agreed on the price, that is considered as if the deal is done, and as soon as there's Meshicha on the wine becomes the Nachri's. And what he gets paid for afterwards, that was for what agreement that took place before the wine was the Nachri's. And therefore, if the vice versa, Madat Shlei Pasuk, that before they made an agreement on the price and on everything, the guy took the wine, then Dama Vasurim. Because at that point, the wine is still the Jews, but the Nachri came in contact with the wine. And since the Nachri came in contact with the wine while it was the Jews' wine, that makes the wine usher. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. That only in a case where the Yisrael touched the wine, the deal was done before the Nachri touched the wine, that's when we have no problem. Otherwise we have a problem. Says the Gemara Meimer, based on what we just learned in the Mishnah, we see the Meshicha b'ayvikayvim koina, that as soon as the Nachri does Meshicha, even if he didn't actually pay for the wine, it already becomes his. Teda, Dari Persoim Majdi Paradishoni La Dodi, the Persoim used to send gifts to each other, and they don't back out. Why? Because as soon as they sent the gift, even it's considered the recipient's gift, even though there was no money exchange. That explains Tosfos. A Maimer holds like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, the Midaraisa Mos Koinus, and that's by Yisrael. The Midaraisa, the Kenyan that's affected by Yisrael, is Mos, and by a Nachri, the effect of Kenyan is Meshicha. And that's exactly what a Maimer is saying, that So according to that, according to Tosfos, not only is the Gemara saying that Mashiach is a valid kinyan by a Nachri, actually the Gemara is saying much more than that, according to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, the Gemara is saying that Mashiach is the only type of kinyan that would be affected by a Nachri. Other Rishonim have a different understanding of a Maimer. Their understanding of a Maimer is that what the Gemara means to say is that both Mashiach and Moss are affected by a Nachri, but the Gemara does not mean to say that only Mashiach is affected by a Nachri. Says the Gemara of Ashi Amar, but the Gemara says that Rav Ashi disagrees with a Maimer. Says, but Mashiach bevoy the Chavim and a Koina. Just Mashiach alone would not affect a Kenyan. The Haidalai Hadibai, the Gemara just said that they exchange things with each other. Says the Gemara, Haidalai Hadribay, Rumus Rucha de Nikita, they're just arrogant and they don't, once they got something, they don't want to bother returning it. And as a Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what Rav Ashi means. Does Rav Ashi mean to argue in a Maimah, where a Maimah says the Mashiach is affected by a Nochri? And Rav Ashi means to say the Mashiach is not affected by a Nochri. That's posh pshat in the Gemara. The other pshat in the Gemara is, it's not that Rav Ashi means to say that Mashiach is not affected by a Nochri. Rav Ashi agrees that Mashiach is affected by a Nochri. The story that a Maimer is using as a raya, that Rav Ashi says is not necessarily a raya, because there it's just Rumas Ruchud and the Kitalahu. On Rav Ashi, not a Milinah. Again, we're going to learn that Rav Ashi holds the Mashiach is not effective. Because the Gemara says, Rav said to these people who sold wine, when you're measuring to sell wine to the Nachri, first get paid, and then pour them the wine. If the Nachri doesn't have money, so how are you supposed to affect the Kenyan if they don't have money? As a finu, lend them some money, father shekulim and ayun, then take the money that you just lent them to make a kinyan, kech the halva gavah ba'abayu, and they'll owe you for the money you lent them. But you need to get money from them. Why do you need to get money from them? Because the only way that you can have a kinyan, and at that point the wine should be considered ready theirs, is if they gave you kesef, which will make a kinyan. Because he said, if you won't do that, if you're going to be pouring them wine and they're going to be holding the wine, and it's not their wine yet, it becomes yayin nesach. And if you now get paid for that wine, the may yayin nesach shekiltu, you're getting paid for yayin nesach. Says the Gemara, the Mashiach by the Kacham Kaina, that Mashiach is an effective kinyan, but the Mashke of the Kachavim. All that we need to have is just that the Nachri should do Mashiacha, and that would be Kinyan. And therefore, Yai Nesachlin Havah Ad Nagabe, and the Kinyan already became their wine. So if afterwards they touch the wine, it shouldn't bother us, because it's their wine at that point. It's already wine at their point. Says the Gemara, either that it's not a compelling proof. Either Kakayel, V'Rami L'Mani D'Yisrael, if the Yisrael is pouring the wine into his own keli, hachinabi, the raya, that would be raya. Like tzricha, what we're speaking about here is the kakayel v'ram l'manadav k'chavim, that the Yisrael is pouring the wine into the vessel that belongs to the Nachri, and the problem here is that there's leftover wine, which is yayin nesach, at the bottom of that barrel in which the Yisrael is pouring into. And that's why we have a problem, because the kosher wine immediately becomes mixed together with the non-kosher wine. Still, if the wine still belongs to the Yisrael, all the wine becomes usur. But ask the Gemara, why is that true? Saif, when the Jew is pouring wine into the Nachri's keli, saif, Kimata lavir de monokanya. As soon as it comes into the keli of the Nachri, it becomes the Nachri's. Because the Nachri is kainit, the way Rashi explains, with a kinyan hagbah. Rashi explains that it's Kinyan Haba because he lifts up the keli into which the Jew is going to pour the wine. The Ritva says, we don't have to learn the Gemara that it's a Kinyan Haba. We can learn the Gemara that's a Kinyan Chatzir. That since this keli belongs to the Nachri, anything that comes into the Aver of that keli becomes the Nachri's. And Yai Nesach Lehaver, and but doesn't become Yai Nesach until it hits the bottom of the keli where the other wine is there. Shmamina, the fact that the Gemara is still concerned is a riot to a question that we've discussed previously, says the Gemara, the Nitzik Chibur. The fact that there's a stream of wine exiting from the Yisrael's keli, entering the Nachri's keli, makes it all connected, and because it makes it all connected, that's why the wine, even before it hits, even before there's a hagbah or kalim, it becomes asr. Says the Maraloi, if the Nachri will be holding the keli, hachinami, then the halacha would be, from here we could see that we have a problem nitzik chibur. Like tzricha, here we're speaking about the manacha ara. The guy is not holding the keli. And since the guy is not holding the keli, though there's, again, we're learning with Rashi, there is no kinyan hagbah. And since there is no kinyan hagbah, that's why we have a problem that the wine will become usr. Says the Gemara, Tikkun Leih Kalif, but why don't we say that it should become the Nachri's? Because anything that enters into your keli, anything that enters into somebody's keli, becomes his. Says the Gemara, should this not be a raya to a question that comes up often in Shas? Shmamina, kelev shalakeach, v'shus moich lekana lakeach. That even though there's a halacha, that whatever comes into my keli becomes mine, that's only when it's in my rishus. But if it's not in my rishus, then it wouldn't be kaina. And here, this keli is in the rishus of the Yisrael, is in the store of the Yisrael. And since this keli is in the store of the Yisrael, that's why the halacha is this way. But if it wasn't in the Yisrael store, that wouldn't be the halacha. So the Tzais wants to say, from here we see that the Gemara is saying that the only issue here is because the keli is in the rishus of the Meich and the rishus of the Yisrael. Were the keli not in the rishus of Yisrael, it would be a valid kinyan. So the Tzai says, what type of kinyan, when we speak about different varieties of kinyan, what type of kinyan is a kinyan keli? It's a kinyan chatzar. But ask the Tzai that throughout Shas, when we speak about kinyan chatzar, the question is, how does kinyan chatzar work? And there are many that suggest that kinyan chatzar works because of shlichus. That my chatzar is a shliach, is an extension of myself. But now we come back to an issue that we spoke about earlier in our shiur, where it says often in Shas, the ain shlichus l'nachri, that there is no shlichus by a nachri. And here we're saying that there is shlichus. So the Nesivus, because of this questions, says that there is, that the reason chatzah works is not because of shlichus, it's because of yad. It's an extension of the person himself. And that is applicable by Nachri as well. The Tzais has another way of learning this. He says, when we say ein shlichus la'akum, he says what that means is that a Yisrael, and the Stipler expounds on this. He says, ein shlichus akum means that one Nachri, that a Jew cannot appoint a Nachri to be a shlich on his behalf. But a Nachri could appoint another Nachri to be a shlich on his behalf. And if the keli of a Nachri is considered the shlich of the Nachri, it's like one Nachri appointing a shliach. A Nachri appointing a shliach, then we say, yesh shlichus la'akam. But then the Ar Sameach has a whole different approach, and he says that when we speak about a keli being coined on behalf of its owner, it doesn't have to be shlichus. It could be, he suggests, another form of agbah. And since Hagbah works, here too, it would be an effective kinyan. Says the Gemara, so if that Shmamina, so isn't this a raya that the fact that the kalim can't be kaina? There's a question throughout Shas. If kalim shalakeach b'shus v'maicha, if it's in the, it's still in the property of the meicher, it's not a good kinyan, and that's why that can't be the kinyan. How are we? What is the case that we're speaking about? We're speaking about a case going to kevus apum in the kuzunta. Then on the top of the keli of the nokri, there's like a thing that prevents the wine from pouring down, and on that spot, there's still some leftover yayin nesach. So as the kosher wine touches that leftover non-kosher wine, it becomes usur because it touches that non-kosher wine. And it didn't become the nachris yet because it didn't really enter the airspace of the keli. Ukman, and says the Gemara, whose opinion does this follow? This isn't consistent with the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Dear of Shimon Gamliel, Ha'amar, we're going to learn on Daf Ayin Dalet that Rav Shimon Gamliel says that Yayin Nesach that fell into the wine of Yisrael, Yimacha Kula Lev Kachavim, you could sell that entire mixture to a Nachri, Chutz Medamei Yayin Nesach Shabai, excluding the amount of value of the Yayin Nesach. So the Gemara is asking here too, why is it Asur? Just don't include in the value the amount of Yayin Nesach, that there wasn't this akeves from before, says the Gemara. Midu tamel l'Rav. We're trying to explain this Gemara according to Rav, that Homer Rav, halakha of Shimon Gamliel, b'chavis. Where does Shimon Gamliel say his halakha that you could sell the entire mixture minus the value of the Yayin Nesach? That's only in a case where you have a number of barrels. And there's a non-kosher barrel that got mixed up with the kosher barrels. That's where he says that the halacha is that you could sell it all minus that value. But when you have the actual wine getting mixed up, even if Shimon Gamliel says Rav will not agree that you could sell it minus that value. Meisvei asked the Gemara. Well, again, we're referring to the machlokes of a Maimon of Ashi. If Mashiacha is kaina by a nachri. The Mishnah says, halakeach grutaris menav kachavim. If somebody buys pieces of silver from a nachri, umatz ben avedis kachavim, and he finds amongst those pieces avodah zara. And we know, as we've learned so many times in Amasechta, once a Yisrael takes ownership of avodah zara, he can no longer be mevatlet. So the halach is imachlei nosam maas mashach, if he didn't pay for it yet, if he did pay for it, if he did mashicha, but he didn't pay, yachser. It doesn't become his, and he could give back that entire pile to the nachri. However, mishanasa mashach, if he did mashicha, so now it's his, and he can't give back, because it's his. And therefore, Allah is yalach liyam melech, he has to destroy the avodah zara. Says the Gemara, v'yishakadat mashich b'avikacham kaino, amai, why in the case where he didn't pay, but he did mashicha, can he give it back? Why yachzer? Once he did mashicha, it's his. And once he did mashicha, then he should not be allowed to give back the avodah zara. The fact that he did mashicha but didn't pay, it's not considered his, is very much a raya. The mashicha is not a kinyan by a nachri. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, says what was meant here is not because mashicha or not. Says the Gemara, the reason is Mishum Demechzik Mechtaz. Since the Yisrael was not interested in purchasing Avodah Zarah, so the whole Mashicha was not a real Mashicha, it was a Mechtaz. And therefore, he could give it back. So ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Abreshim Mechtaz was Sefer Lak Mechtaz. If the Vart here is that he never intended to buy Avodah Zarah, and since he never intended to buy Avodah Zarah, that's why it's a Mechtaz. So why does it make a difference if he just did Mashicha and gave money, or he did Mashicha and didn't give money? The point is that it's a Mekhtos. Reshim Mekhtos, Sefer La Mekhtos, El Amarava, the way to understand that entire Brisa is Reshim Sefer Mekhtos. Both the Reshim and the Sefer is a Mekhtos. The Jew never intended to buy Avodah Zarah. However, Reisha de lo yavim zuzi, when the Reisha, where he didn't pay for it, lo mischazik kavod chum yad Yisrael. This is just a chumrah. So if the Jew didn't pay for it yet, nobody assumes that the Jew owns it yet. And therefore, the Jew could just give it back to the Nochri. In the Sefer, he already paid for it. The Sefer Yav Zuzi, and the Sefer he paid, and therefore, even though it's really not his, but it looks like it's his, and that's all we have to be machmer, Yisrael. So ask the Divrei Chaim, going back to a concept that we learned early in our shir, that we remember from the Ramban, there's a concept of Roitzim Kiyuma. Says, ask the Rechayim, why until the Jew returns the Avodah Zarah to the Nochri, returns the Avodah to the Nochri, is it not considered Roitzim Kiyuma? He wants that Avodah Zarah to continue to exist, that he'd be able to get back the money. And we're learning that Roitzim Kiyuma is Asr. Answer the Rechayim, that this Gemara is referring to time when the Jews had the upper hand over the Nochri. So even if the Avodah Zarah would get destroyed or lost, the Jewish court would compel the Nochri to give a refund. So since the Jew is going to get the refund, whether the Avodah Zarah is still existing or not, that's why it's not considered Roitz B'Kiyumai. It's only considered Roitz B'Kiyumai if that you need the Avodah Zarah or you need the Yayin Nesach to get the money that you want to get. But if you don't need it and you'll get it anyway, that's not considered Roitz B'Kiyumai. Says the Gemara, Amle Makshish B'Reder of Chizda Rav Ashi. Throughout Shas, we find that Rav Chizda had two sons. One was called Makshish, one was called Mar Yanuka. And there's two different Pshatim in the Rishonim how they got those names. One pshat is that Mark Shisha was the older son. Shisha means older. And one pshat is that Amayinuka was the younger one. And the other pshat says just the opposite. Mark Shisha was the younger son. Amayinuka was the older son. Mark Shisha was called the son, that name, because Rav Chisda was already older when that son was born. And Amayinuka was called by that name because Rav Chisda, their father, was a Yanuka, was still younger when the son was born. So it says the Gemara, Amalei Makshisha B'Reder of Chizdil Ravashi, Toshma. The Mishnah said, Amalei Yayin Alev D'Kachavim, if somebody sends wine to a Nochri, Pasakat Shlei Moda, if they agreed on a price before Mashicha, Davim Matarim. Says the Gemara, V'yam Mashicha B'Rev D'Kachavim, Ena Koina, Amai Davim Matarim, there was no Kenyan. And if there was no Kenyan, the wine still belongs to the Yisrael. And therefore, the wine should become Asur. Says the Gemara, Hachamai Skinim, we're going to explain the Mishnah, Dagdon Lay Dinner, that the Nochri already paid, gave him a deposit, and that's why it became the Nochri's. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to explain the Mishnah, continues the Gemara, Yachi, Emma Sefer, the Mishnah said, at the end, the second part of the Mishnah, Mother Dach Shalei Pasak, that they did Mashicha, but they had not agreed on a price, Dom of Asurim. But ask the Gemara, Vida Kanim Le Dinner, it would explain that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the Nochri already gave a deposit, a Mai Dam Vasurav. It already belongs to the Nochri by dint that the Nochri gave a deposit on it already, says the Gemara, Amale Lididach the Amrit. And according to you that say that it's already, that there's no problem, because it already became the Nochri's, Mashiach b'avikacham kaina, amai reisha davim mutarev, v'sefer davim v'surim, if there was a Mashiach, and the Mashiach makes it the Nochri's, so then why is it Asur? El mayis l'chameimer, because says the Gemara, a Kenyan alone is not going to affect the Kenyan, make a Kenyan, a mice a Kenyan alone doesn't create a Kenyan unless there was price agreed upon. Because Pasak, if they agreed on a price, Samchadate, so he says, this is the price, and this is the price I agree to. Loi Pasak, loi Samchadate. But if they didn't agree on a price, you could have the best Kenyan in the world. Kesef or Mashicha, it won't make a difference. And therefore, Didi Nami, Avkav the Kanami dinner. Even if the Nochri already gave a deposit, Pasak, But if they had agreed on a price, samche date, then the nachri means knows it's his. Loi pasak, but if he didn't make a price, even if he gave a dinner, loi samche date. Says the Gemara, Amalei Ravina Ravashi Toshma. Again, our question of Mashiach is a kinyan by goy. Dar Rav Chi bar Abba Omer Rav Yochanan ben noyig nerag apox mishava pruta. A ben noyach who steals, we know one in the Zion mitzvahs, or the bnei noyach, as we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, is the denial of a steal. And even if he steals less than a pruta, because by a nochri, even less than a pruta is considered marmon, v'lei noten leishavon, but we can't reverse it. Because if a Jew steals money from another Jew, or even a nochri who steals money, the avera could be corrected by returning, as the Torah says, v'heshvez gzeilish agazel. But when a nochri steals less than a pruta, so since it's such an insignificant amount, the Yisrael is meichel, and there's nothing to return. But it was a meisig gzeila, and therefore the noich is nereg. The amrim shichbav kachavim enakaina a my nereg. Why and how was there gzeila here? There was no gzeila because you have to have a kinyan to make a gzeila, and mashicha doesn't make a kinyan. Answers the Gemara, not because of the kinyan of the gzeila is the nochri nereg. Mishum the tsar el Yisrael, or my nitim by shavin, then betaris a shavin, because the nochri indeed never became owner of this money. But the reason he's nereg is because he pained the Jew by stealing from him. If another nochri took from the first nochri what he stole, nergala. So why the first nochri is chayim misa, as we explained, because he caused the Yisrael to suffer. El a sefer, but in the case of a sefer where one nochri stole from another nochri, my avid, why is he chayiv? There's no punishment for one nochri causing pain to another nochri. El shmamina, must be. The mashiach by the kabam kana. And therefore, even when the nochri took less than a shava pruta, it's considered a maisa geneva. And since it's considered a maisa geneva, he's chayiv misa for it. When the second nochri takes from him, again, it's considered a maisa geneva. And since it's considered a maisa geneva, that's why the second nochri is chayiv. But all this is all based on mashicha being kaina by a nochri. The Gemara tells us a very big chiddush. The Gemara is telling us that if the nochri stole from a Yisrael less than a pruta, and that's the amount that Yisrael is meichel, since Yisrael is meichel, so now there's no way of correcting what was done. Since there's no way of correcting what was done, the guy will be killed for gzeila. But if he stole more than a pruta, something worth more than a pruta, so that it can be corrected by giving it back, and therefore if he give it back, he won't be chayiv misa. The Sefer Chashum Kechemet says that it's appropriate that every night before one goes to sleep, and before he says Krishma Lamita, he should say Ribbono Shel Olam, Hareini Moich V'Salei L'Chomei Shehichnas V'Eknadaisi HaShachaket Kenegdi. I'm Michael anybody who bothered me that day. The question is, can you say that even if you're not really comfortable? You're really not ready to be Michael, the person. So he says, even if a person feels terrible and very upset about what somebody did to him, he should always be Michael. And that's what we say every day in every Shemone Esrei. We say, V'nafshi kafol l'kol tia. A person should always be moichel. And the reason for that, he says, because the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Daf kuf mem tes om beis, kol shechaver nenesh al yadai. If you were to cause that somebody should get punished, em machnis noisoi b'chitzah shekadosh baruch hu. So therefore, a person should always try to be meichel anybody who might have done something wrong to him, because otherwise that person will be punished for what he did to you, and then you'll be punished because you caused the other person to be punished. The Sefer, he brings a story where there was a Talmud Chacham that somebody embarrassed him in a very serious way. A number of days later, the person who did the embarrassing sent a note to the person whom he embarrassed asking mechila. This Talmud Chacham had a very difficult time being Meichel. And he was about to rip up this piece of paper. And he said, they told him, don't rip up the paper, put it into your siddur. And where should you put in the siddur? You should put in the siddur and say, and put it by the place of Shemoneh Esrei where we daven, Slach lanu avinu malkeinu ki chatanu, mechal lanu malkeinu ki fashanu. And say, just like sometimes it's hard for us to forgive people for what they did to us, but the right thing to do is to forgive. Why should we do that? Because sometimes we do things against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who certainly has no reason to forgive us. But we do hope and pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive us. The same thing over here, that one should be careful to make sure that be meichel everybody, because if we'll be meichel everybody, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be meichel us when we do something that will bother him. This question that we just discussed in our shir, what type of kinyan is affected by a nachri, is most relevant to a question that comes up, the Paiskim say by Mechiras Chametz. When we sell the Chametz to the nachri, we have to sell it to him in an effective manner. And if the only effective manner of kinyan by a nachri is a pruta, so there's some Paiskim that suggest that if you have a rav that's selling the chametz of many families, he should make a calculation that the nachri, when he's putting a deposit on that chametz, should at least give the value that every person who he's selling, who he's buying the chametz from, is receiving a pruta. The discussion that we also had in our Gemara about being careful when the wine is touched by the nachri, the question that comes up, if somebody is Masada Kedushin by a wedding where the chasen kala not Shem Shabbos, and we're makbid that if people are not Shem Shabbos touch wine, the wine becomes usur. So of course the best thing to do is to use at that type of a chuppah Yayim Avushal. And Yayim Avushal, there is no problem with Stam Yenam. Otherwise, we should be careful that the chasen kala should not touch the wine until after the wedding, because otherwise the Bari Priya Goffin that's going to be made on wine that you're not allowed to drink is a brachal of Atollah.